This is the 2020 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. House State Affairs has voted against allowing tribes to seek reimbursement for expenses associated with pipeline protests. Last year's legislature established the Peace Fund to collect money for the state or political subdivisions, whose budgets might be stressed if the Keystone XL pipeline is built and protests rise up. The committee voted 9-4 against including tribes in that group. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this report.
Last year's failed riot-boosting statute had a companion law that survived, called the Peace Fund, created to collect revenue from civil penalties, judgments, and fines. The fund exists to pay expenses for state and local governments dealing with protesters against the Keystone XL pipeline. If it is built, it will cross rural areas with few resources and few law enforcement officers to deal with problems. Representative Sean Bordeaux believes that description fits his reservation, the Rosebud, where a checkerboard of trust land lies just east of the solid boundary line. That scattered land is in the path of the pipeline.
We got over 1 million acres in my community, spread out over five counties, and I'm kind of taken aback by one comment I heard yesterday about how, you know, some of this activity doesn't happen on the reservation. Well, with where this activity is going to be happening, I can spit from trust land onto this pipeline.
He says if protesters take refuge on tribal land, then tribal police have to respond. Opponent Christy Terman is director of the Division of Emergency Services for the Department of Public Safety.
There are no structures being planned for or built on reservation land. Therefore, it is not a direct impact on reservation land.
Terman says the law is not intended to cover costs of sovereign tribes who have their own governmental structures. Committee members expressed concern that there would be no mechanism to collect money paid to tribes if their expenses were later reimbursed by some other source. Witnesses suggested the state and tribes could enter into a memorandum of understanding, as they do now for other law enforcement purposes. But legislators were not persuaded. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
A Republican-led committee in the House is rejecting a resolution that urges Congress to rescind the Sioux Dakota Removal Act of 1863. They pointed to a division between Dakota tribes as reason to oppose a resolution supported by the State Tribal Relations Committee. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The resolution urges Congress to repeal the federal law still on the books, despite it being obsolete. The resolution calls the act's presence a continuing offense. It was brought by Democratic Representative Sean Bordeaux of Mission. He's Dakota and Lakota. He says tensions in Minnesota in the 1860s led to the forced removal of the Dakota from their homeland.
That's how you got the Santee of Nebraska. That's how you got Crow Creek. That's how you got Spirit Lake up in North Dakota. Sisseton as well. So the tribes were kind of forced out of Minnesota and left to basically start over in a new area. And, you know, people who maybe been fishers or, you know, people who survived off of the great water and resources that are in Minnesota, all of a sudden they're on the plains.
However, not all Dakota tribal members were on board. Republican Representative Tamara St. John is Dakota and an enrolled member of the Sisseton Wahpeton tribe. She says not all Dakota tribal members were consulted on this resolution.
As Dakota people, you know, you're hearing things about division and this juggle. And, you know, that isn't the way that we do things. That isn't the way that we address this in 2012. And that's not how we would do it again. It's really my belief that if we were bringing this forward in the right way, they would all be here.
That was enough to convince most Republican lawmakers to table the bill indefinitely. Bordeaux indicated he may bring the resolution again. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
House Republicans are rejecting a bill that establishes an international business and trade office under the state. The Governor's Office of Economic Development partially funds an international trade office in Sioux Falls. Those opposed to the bill are calling it a repetition of services. But Democratic Representative Michael Saba disagrees. Last year, he brought a trade delegation from Egypt to South Dakota. He says the current International Trade Office only looks at the Sioux Falls area. Saba says South Dakota needs to bring international trade delegations to look at the whole state.
It leads to many, many other things, even though these were primarily industries that were developed initially for our own use. But we have the ability of exporting those downstream products, some of which we already are doing. So we need to emphasize that more. We will make more money by that and bring more new dollars into South Dakota.
Representative Saba says he has plans in place for an Egyptian trade delegation to return this spring. He says he's also organizing bringing a group from Saudi Arabia. Governor Kristi Noem backs a legislative proposal that could change the state's local zoning and appeals process. Noem says it will streamline development in rural South Dakota, especially for wind farms and livestock operations. That could affect Yankton County, where a number of large-scale livestock farms have gone up. Residents are split over the future of that kind of agricultural development. SDPB's Lee Strubinger takes us to Yankton County.
Carl Schenck walks through his newest building, a hog barn with 2,400 animals. The steady hum of the temperature control system keeps the inside temperature at 65 degrees even on a cold winter afternoon. The system even adds humidity to the air. White pipes that look like PVC stretch the length of the hog barn. They distribute feed to about 60 pens organized into two rows.
But they have feed 24 hours a day. They're never without feed. Everything is monitored. If the feed starts to get low, we're notified through our cell phones. We know the weight in the bins. At any time, we can dial it up and see how much feed is on premise.
Light from industrial-strength bulbs reflect off a lagoon below. The hog waste drains through slits in the floor.
We keep about 35 pigs to a pen. As they grow and get larger, we'll grow into the empty pens you see here. So they're never overly dense. If you get overly dense, they're not comfortable. If they're not comfortable, they're not gaining weight.
Dozens of pigs stumble out of our way as we walk through the building.
All these pigs are weighing about 55 pounds on average when they come in. As you can tell, they're clean, they're curious, they're happy pigs. If they were outside today where it's 9 degrees, everything they would be eating would be just to maintain their body condition and to stay warm.
Schenck's been raising hogs like this for almost 3 years, and he wishes he had made the change earlier. But the future of this kind of agricultural development has raised new questions in Yankton County. Since June of 2017, the county has approved 20 large-scale livestock operations. That's the year Schenck and three other farmers decided to expand. Schenck says they needed a critical mass of animals to get feed resources in Yankton County.
We all came forward at the same time, which in hindsight may have been a mistake. Maybe we should have done it individually. But being good friends, and we thought it'd be wise to go into this together and see what happened. Because we needed to have some economies of scale with these barns.
A concentration of hog farms brings in contract opportunities with large companies. Schenck now works with Canadian-based Sunterra Farms.
They are experts at what they do. So we have refined this business just like every other business in America, be it Amazon or Walmart. They have found a very good formula, a very good model to make this work.
That picturesque view we all have from the past of the farm, that's going. And it's because of this integrated model.
That's Emily Raddick, a member of the group Quality of Life for South Dakota. It tracks the development of large livestock operations. Raddick worries about the health and safety of nearby residents, the environmental consequences, and declining property values that can come with concentrated animal feeding operations, also called CAFOs.
It's a shame. It's a crying shame. And it's sad. And like I said, it's everyday life for us because those of us that are advocating, and we're not advocating against all CAFOs. That's not what it is. That's not it at all.
Raddick lives about 2 miles away from the site of another proposed large-scale hog operation. The local citizens group wants permits to include details designed to reduce the smell and increase distance from neighbors.
If they're sighted correctly away from water and away from neighbors, we have no problem with it. The only time we have a problem is when there's three or four neighbors calling us saying, please help us.
A bill the governor supports would shorten the zoning and appeal process at the county level. And neighbors who file a suit against a farmer would have to pay court costs and damages if the farmer wins in court. Zane Williams sits on the Yankton County Planning and Zoning Commission. He says the bill could be good for South Dakota.
They might have some remorse. They might have to pay for this, pay for the other person's, legal bills. And otherwise, it's just a stamp and say, I don't like this. And I think those days are going to go by.
Williams is also chair of the Marindall Township Board. It's one of five townships that might withdraw from Yankton County. He says part of the reason is the county's heavy-handed approach to large-scale animal feedlot operations. The bill simplifies county approval for large projects. It would require a simple majority vote. That concerns Sherry Lost, chair of the Yankton County Commission, which requires a 4/5 approval. She says that decision is best left to counties.
But when you get up to the conditional use level, that should be left at the county's discretion. So the word shall shouldn't be there. It should be the choice of the county for a conditional use permit approval.
She's one of three commissioners voted into office 2 years ago because of concern about large hog farms. Now, Lost is helping to rework the county's zoning ordinance.
It is not realistic to say we will never allow a confined animal feeding operation in Yankton County. That is just not realistic. So everybody needs to come together and to say, well, this is a good path forward. And like I said, nobody's going to walk away winning the jackpot. We're all going to have a skinned knee at the end of the day.
A Senate Committee on State Affairs is passing the bill along to the Senate floor. It still has to make its way through the House. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Pierre.
South Dakota Attorney General Jason Roundsburg is asking state lawmakers to modify our state's presumptive probation laws. Last year's attempt to repeal the law was voted down. SDPB's Stephanie Rissler reports.
The current presumptive probation law requires courts to sentence people with a Class 5 or 6 felony to probation rather than prison time. Attorney General Roundsburg explained why last year's bill failed and how this year's bill is different.
Last year, we brought Senate Bill 19, which was a full repeal of SB 70, but some of our arguments at the time were the discretion of the judges was limited and also cooperation was not being had by law enforcement. We went back to the drawing board, basically, and said, how can we fix the subparts if we can't fix the entire bill? We think that this strengthens SB 70 in the fact that it fosters cooperation. It makes a penalty. Again, this penalty is then at the discretion of the court. It's just another factor to consider.
South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers opposed the measure, telling lawmakers many of those arrested are with low-level offenses such as drug ingestion, further saying these folks need treatment, not incarceration.
And what Senate Bill 6 will truly do is attempt to further incarcerate our way out of our drug problem. We need to fund treatment to progress and have some success in that regard, and Senate Bill 6 doesn't do that.
If passed, the new law will cost the state more than $8.4 million over 10 years in operational costs. The final vote to pass it was 5-2. For SDPB, I'm Stephanie Rissler.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2020 Statehouse podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the People's Business in Pierre. Be sure to connect with us on social media by liking the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.